You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and this is our post-Super Bowl edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here. As always, you could find the three of us on our Discord, which is OnlyFans. You could go to discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you could join for $3 a month. This show, as always, is brought to you by Diet Smoke. Go to dietsmoke.com and use the promo code Waddle, as in Jalen Waddle. Use the promo code Waddle, and you get 50% off any one item. And, of course, betteredge.com. Go to betteredge.com/5reasons, the number 5 reasons, and you get $20 just for signing up. Man, what a Super Bowl. I can't decide. I don't know if that was a good game or not, because there were so many mistakes, so many odd things. Drake Greenlaw tearing his Achilles, getting ready to go back on defense. It has to be one of the most unfortunate things in the history of the Super Bowl. A ball finds an ankle on a punt, and that pretty much changes the whole momentum of the game. I guess we'll start here, and I'll start with you, Simon. What did you make of this game? First of all, did you think it was a good game, or kind of just a series of unfortunate and then, or fortunate, depending on how you look at it, events in this game? But I don't think there was great football. Do you agree?
I think it was great football in terms of things like special teams and defensively. I thought it was great football. I thought it was an interesting game and then a kind of great fourth quarter slash overtime period. But I mean, I just think the 49ers blew it. I mean, they had so many chances, so many opportunities. You just can't keep the Chiefs hanging around. And the difference is, this is what happens when you have an incredible quarterback. This is how you win Super Bowls. And, you know, Mahomes once again proved that, you know, he is the difference because of his incredible skill set and his incredible will to win. And we've seen it for 2 decades with Tom Brady. And Chris, we saw it again last night. Just a unique will to win, a desire that he wants the ball. He went 8 for 8 on that final drive. He had two big runs, including the fourth down conversion, where apparently Andy Reid told Peter King there was 3 play calls on that particular fourth down play, and he just decided to keep it in his own hands. And special players do special things. But I thought it was an interesting game with a great fourth quarter and a, you know, amazing kind of denouement at the end, Chris.
Yeah, I thought I don't necessarily buy that it was a bad game at all. Like I think that there were some offense, there were some mistakes, sure. There was a special teams mistake, but you know that this is listen, special teams have to be able to execute too. And you know the ankle that the ball found, I mean, there's a reason that it even found that ankle to begin with. So I mean, you always got to give the other side credit, if I'm not mistaken, unless I'm just like completely misremembering the play. I mean, the guy that it touched had been sort of blocked backward into the area where the ball was going to land, and you know, I or pushed backward, and so that's one of the reasons that happened. And then the return guy, you know, I don't really blame him. He just tried to make the best do the best that he could. I think that this was a game that featured some offense, you know, for those that like offense. I think this was a game that featured some defense and some real stalwart, defensive performances. I think there were fumbles, but there were fumbles for a reason. There were good defensive players that made good defensive plays to poke that football out. You know, I think that there was one fumble that were I think it was I forget whose fumble it was, but it was a play where three defensive players really all worked to get that ball out, and Chennault got the credit for it. But you know,
Well, Matt
there's
Pinnell
other,
actually knocked it out.
yeah, and there, I mean, but I mean, before he got there, Mike Pinnell had his arms around the ball and was kind of trying to loosen it, and then Chanel got in there and he really tried to rip it, and then a third guy, I forget his name, kind of got his hand in there and poked at it too, and you know, it was just one of those things. It's like what a tremendous defensive play that was. And so I think that you had a lot of everything. You had a lot of everything in that game. And then at the end of it, you know, we'll be debating, I think, the overtime rules and the correct strategy, whether to take the ball or to not take the ball, given that the playoff overtime has been changed to almost like a college overtime with the first two possessions anyway. And in college they always defer. And I think that one-sided asymmetrical information advantage is just such a big deal that I don't see how anybody could choose to receive the ball in that overtime, in playoff overtime, with the rules as they stand. And even worse, it appears that, you know, the players, certainly the players on the 49ers, acknowledged that they didn't even know that the rules had changed for the playoffs. And there's been some indication that assistant coaches disagreed with the call by Kyle Shanahan too. And there's even been some indications that Kyle Shanahan might not have even known that the rules have changed, which would be just one of the, you know, all-time boneheaded sorts of situations that can happen in a Super Bowl. And it sort of seals what I've been thinking, which is basically that Kyle Shanahan is Andy Reid before Andy Reid met Patrick Mahomes, you know. Before Andy Reid met Patrick Mahomes, he was the guy that had gone to four straight NFC championship games, advanced to one Super Bowl, but couldn't, you know, bring the Lombardi to Philadelphia. So he was fired for that. Imagine that. Imagine, you know, talk about first world problems. They're firing their head coach because they went to four straight NFC championships in games and couldn't bring home the Lombardi. And then he goes to Kansas City, and he makes the playoffs 4 out of 5 years with Alex Smith at quarterback, but they're 1-4 in the playoffs. You know, they didn't have playoff success. And then he meets Patrick Mahomes, and the rest is history. You know, 6 years that Patrick Mahomes has been playing there, they've been to the Super Bowl 4 times and won 3 of them. You know, I think that this is dynasty. This is Patriots dynasty. This is a quarterback that is going to be compared to Tom Brady and probably the better, and they deserve all of it.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I saw S Simon had posted earlier on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it these days, that maybe Mahomes is already the best ever. I'm almost there. I'm ready to say that he's Michael Jordan. He's Michael Jordan in football. And we all know what Michael Jordan did for 6 years. His three-peats were interrupted by one retirement, and you know, he went to go play baseball, but he didn't allow anybody else to win. He played a team with two Hall of Famers on it, and Karl Malone and John Stockton, didn't let them win twice. A star-laden Portland team, the Suns, all of those teams were champions any other year, but Michael Jordan just would not allow it. And I think we're in an era where you're going to have to almost hope for weakened Chiefs teams, because this one was much, much weaker offensively. It was, quite frankly, not a very good offense this season. But then they have the best defense in the sport.
Yeah.
But so, you know, it's
kind
it's
of a big deal.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. You know, you have the best defense in the sport, and then you have Michael Jordan. You just tell him, go get us enough offense, and our defense will take care of the rest. Simon, I got the numbers right here. Dre Greenlaw goes down. Oren Burks fills in for him. These are his stats in coverage. And I understand that some of these, you know, stats could be skewed because he's the guy standing next to the guy that just caught the ball. And we don't know his complete assignment. We don't know if he's actually playing it correctly or playing it incorrectly. But the numbers are the numbers. And we care about these numbers for mostly everybody else. Dre Greenlaw goes down. Oren Burks comes in. He's targeted 9 times. He allows 9 catches. He allows 118 yards, 1 touchdown, a 134.7 passer rating when targeted. Was that the turning point of the game, or can you pinpoint another spot? Because it looked like San Francisco was just cruising, and then you just notice that the scoreboard is not moving, and that's a problem against Kansas City. What was the turning point in this game, Simon?
I don't think you point to one specific thing. Obviously, losing Greenlaw was huge. But I think, you know, Kyle Shanahan going 8 plays without running the ball, Brock Purdy didn't, you know, because the Chiefs had the ball before halftime, he had the extended halftime, and they had the ball at the start of the second half. Brock Purdy went 75 minutes without throwing the ball. So, you know, there's all sorts of things that play into it, but also just, you know, you can point to Colton McKivitz. I mean, there was a miss block on that third and goal on the overtime drive, and if you look at it back, not only does he have Juwan Jennings open for a touchdown, but L'Jarius Sneed literally falls over covering Brandon Ayuk, and Ayuk is probably 12 yards away from another person, but because McKivitz blocks outside onto the guy that George Kittle's blocking, not only does Chris Jones but also Trent McDuffie, so you essentially have two first team all pro defenders coming straight through a gap. You know, if Purdy even gets, he didn't even get to the back of his drop before he, you know, had to get rid of it. You know, if he has an extra second and a half, that's surely a touchdown. Now, the interesting thing, as Chris alluded to, is that, you know, plenty of Chiefs players were saying, look, there was a plan that we were going to go for two anyway, if they scored and we scored. And, you know, you hear about player Kyle Juszczyk told Kalen Kaylor that he didn't even realize the playoff rules were different in overtime. I assume he just wanted the ball to score a touchdown and win, he said. Whereas, you know, Creed Humphrey said, look, we've been practicing this since, you know, back in the summer, in terms of, you know, we were told situational football and we practiced situational football. We talked about it a ton, Humphrey said, during training camp, we repped the exact situation multiple times. You know, that's really great coaching, and sometimes I think you probably just get lost in the moment. I think everybody was confused last night in terms of, you know, I spoke to a few people that were in the stadium. They were like, we didn't really remember the rules, and there wasn't, you know, it was stuck on the scoreboard, but you're not necessarily looking at the scoreboard. And you know, even Mecole Hardman was a bit surprised that, you know, that he'd scored, and it was quite funny to see Patrick Mahomes do his interview on NFL Network and then leave Hardman and Kelsey, and then all of a sudden Mahomes came back and just said, oh, can I just tell a funny story, which is Mecole didn't even know we'd won the game, which was pretty funny. So, you know, I certainly guess there was some confusion generally, but certainly seemed to be more on the 49ers side. But look, overall, I thought the 49ers, you know, they're going to be fuming, I think, when they look back at the tape. You know, it's just the missed opportunities, the mistakes, the missed blocks, the missed assignments, just one player here, one player there, just making really big mistakes. I think Steve Wilkes called a brilliant game up till the end of the game. I thought that he, you know, that the final drive in regulation where he called multiple blitzes and then he sort of sat off, and you know, I just didn't think he called a very good game in the biggest moment. And actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't come back. So I think you can point to all sorts of things. Certainly, losing Greenlaw was massive, but I don't think it was the be all and end all to the 49ers losing.
Chris?
Yeah, I think I don't know if it was. I can't really say that it was the Drake Greenlaw being out thing. I really don't think that was necessarily the case. I think that both sides were kind of exchanging mistakes. You know, there was a fumble by Christian McCaffrey, right? And I mentioned it before, the Leo Chanel fumble. But you know, then there's also a fumble by Pacheco, right? I mean, he had a big fumble, and that was
and the bad pick by Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, and that was that Isaiah Pacheco fumble was at the San Francisco 9-yard line. I mean, as after an absolutely, you know, a vintage Patrick Mahomes 52-yarder to Mecole Hardman.
Mm-hmm.
Just he did where he's like, he did the thing again. You know, he did the thing that only he does, really. And they get to the 9-yard line and then they have a fumble. I mean, there's this is football. Things are going to happen. Injuries are going to happen. I'm not going to cry for the San Francisco 49ers suffering an injury that may have impacted the game a little bit when, you know, how many teams were not playing in that Super Bowl. And I'm not even talking about the Dolphins at this point, but how many teams are not playing in that Super Bowl because of their own injuries, you know? And mm-hmm. And that's just kind of the way it goes. But I think that, you know, I still think that in that overtime period, you know, because I go back because San Francisco, you know, yes, they missed that 3rd and 4 in the Kansas 9-yard line where they otherwise would have gone for the touchdown, or hopefully gone for the touchdown. But I mean, earlier in that play, they had a third. They got backed up into a 3rd and 13 and got bailed out by a little ticky tack defensive holding call. You know, 5 mm-hmm. yards with a first down. You know, and that was at their own 22-yard line. That drive almost went absolutely nowhere to start overtime, and then it would have been giving the ball to Patrick Mahomes with a chance to, you know, to win it, which is what they essentially did anyway, because as Simon brought up, even if the San Francisco 49ers had scored that touchdown, the Chiefs had already drawn it up. They're like, we're going to go down there. We're going to be in 4-down territory the entire way, which is a huge advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get that touchdown and we're going to go for 2. And they had a play ready for it. I'd be curious to know what that play was. I know that Eric Bieniemy, who had got fired from the Washington Commanders, came in and gave the team a speech and even had them walk through a play. and given the history with Bieniemy and some of the plays that he calls, in particular the creative ones on the goal line, I kind of wonder if that 2-point play that they had waiting for that moment, you know, was an Eric Bieniemy special. But either way, it didn't matter because they scored that winning touchdown with Mecole Hardman. I came away from the game thinking I just watched one of the, you know, better Super Bowls that I've ever seen. It was really a fantastic game. Usually a lot of times I don't care because the Dolphin season is over. but this game had me going. It was really something.
Yeah, I would have loved to see the 49ers score on that first drive and have Kyle Shanahan just run onto the field in ecstasy, you know what I mean? And then get a 15-yard penalty on his team.
Even if he didn't. And there was, what I'm referencing, by the way, is there was an interview right after the game where he was, you know, and it was, this was before you could even get to the locker room. This was, this is right outside the locker room. So this is very short order before anybody can tell him anything or whatever. And he was asked about, you know, any regrets or something like that. And he mentioned something. He said, you know, I wish we would have gone down and gotten that touchdown at the end there and not given Pat the opportunity. And I was like, bro, you know that Pat would have had the opportunity no matter what, right? Like, I hope you know that.
We were robbed of one of the most epic possible moments in the history of the sport. Can you imagine Kyle Shanahan running onto the field? All who knows? Maybe they give him a Gatorade bath.
Even if not him, Alf, if you know, you believe conspiracy that he meant something else, he really did know, et cetera, because it'd be so borderline unthinkable that he wouldn't know. The players didn't know. They admit that.
Yeah.
So the players would have run onto the field. The players would have all rushed the field thinking they won the Super Bowl.
And given Kyle Shanahan the Gatorade bath, and then they would have had to hear a referee explain to them, no, Pat Mahomes gets the ball now, guys.
and the chance to win the game by going for two.
Yes, and take these 15 yards with you for running onto the field and delaying the game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about, we do a Dolphins podcast. So when we come back, we'll talk about how the Dolphins can get into one of these games. Injury is probably one of the answers. But first, these words.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so Premier Kitchen, Bath, and Laundry Cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 five-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, we're back. I kind of alluded to it earlier. Here's the good news. Chris Jones and Ladarius Sneed are set to become the highest paid players at their positions. Stands to reason that the Chiefs might not be able to keep those two players. I think that's the way forward. Kansas City has to be weakened because they're going to improve on the weapons around Mahomes. And I understand that Travis Kelce is no spring chicken. He's going to be 35 in the offseason. I think Kansas City has to be weakened, and that's where you start here. When you look at those two teams, what's missing, Simon, from the Miami Dolphins?
Oh, blimey. What is missing?
Everything.
I mean, success.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but yeah. We could say this. We look at the two teams. The Chiefs have terrible tackles, and the 49ers passed three guys and really two. Their offensive line is not all that great. Their right tackle is absolutely tragic. So these are not great offensive lines. They defeated the two better offensive lines in the sport, in the Ravens and the Lions. But that's one place I think that Miami could exploit a market inefficiency is try to get better there than those teams.
But then, you know, let's look at this and be completely honest, right? And let's not even talk about the quarterback because everything ends up with that. We need better quarterback play. Okay, that's a given. Brett Veach, when they lost to the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, went out and rebuilt their offensive line, completely rebuilt their offensive line. They signed Joe Tooney, they drafted Creed Humphrey, they drafted Lucas Niang, they signed Orlando Brown, okay? They did a complete remake, complete do-over, complete everything. They drafted Trey Smith, and they sorted out, they fixed the offensive line that was so porous against the Bucs that essentially lost them the Super Bowl. On the flip side, we have been bemoaning the state of the offensive line for multiple years, both as a threesome on WhatsApp, on OnlyFins, but mainly on the podcast. We've talked about it for years. We had to sit in a press conference last year where we were told by Chris Greer laughingly that you guys worry about the offensive line way more than we do. Well, you know, this bridge, it keeps getting burned by the same problems year after year after year. I have absolutely zero, and I mean zero, confidence that the Dolphins will go out and fix the offensive line. And they've had multiple chances over the years. You know, they could have signed Trent Williams, for example. There were multiple players and have been multiple players who came on the market. Shaq Mason last year, for example, was available for a seventh-round pick. Mason had an outstanding season. We could have signed Shaq Mason. We didn't decide not to sign Shaq Mason. You know, there are problems after problems after problems with the offensive line, knowing what we know about the health of the quarterback, but also how, you know, we kind of need clean pockets and clean sight lines to be able to make it work. Adam Schefter was on NFL Network earlier on saying that all indications are that Chris Jones will stay in Kansas City. You know, and they're coming back for a three-peat. Why wouldn't you want to be part of that action? You know, they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl already. And you saw they're not going to be as bad next year as they were this year. You know, there are lots of receivers available in free agency. It's an unbelievable class of draft eligible wide receivers. I mean, I'm about 20 receivers in and I take about 18 of them. In terms of like going through these guys, it is phenomenal. And, you know, even at 32, they're going to get, if they go receiver, they're going to get some serious options in terms of downfield threats and guys that can help Mahomes out. So Yeah, I mean, health is a huge issue. You know, you look at on the back end, Trent McDuffie was healthy all year, Snead was healthy all year, Justin Reid was healthy all year. Really, the only injury problems they had, they lost Derek Nandy, they lost Willie Gay for a few games. You know, you count and counter that with what Miami went through in terms of, you know, Holland out, Elliott missed games, Holland missed multiple games, Howard missed multiple games, Ramsey missed multiple games, Brandon Jones, you know, was banged up at times, Baker missed multiple games, nothing from Tyndall. Phillips missed multiple games, Chubb missed multiple games, Van Ginkel missed multiple games, Cam Good missed multiple games. You know, we're playing with a, you know, 2005 All-Pro team in the playoffs in terms of pass rushers. So health is a massive issue, but I think unless you fix the offensive line and ultimately you get a better quarterback play, then the Chiefs are the favorites and the team to beat for a reason. And that reason ultimately is they've got probably the greatest quarterback in the history of the league. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that as a prisoner of the moment. Six seasons, six AFC Championship games, four Super Bowls, three Super Bowl wins. And he's 28. And Tom Brady, yep, he had seven, and Brady is unbelievable. But he won, you know, he's 45. Patrick's got 17 more seasons to win four Super Bowls. Do we really believe the Chiefs aren't going to win four Super Bowls in 17 years? I suspect they will do. And I can't see another team stopping them as we stand right here, right now. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done for Miami. But to me, I don't know about you, Chris, but to me, I think it has to start with the offensive line, retooling it.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I get reluctant here because I don't just want to, listen, you're right. We've been complaining about this how long? And, we had good offensive results in 22 despite the offensive line. We had really good offensive results in 23 despite the offensive line. So I don't want to risk like continuing to pound on the offensive line and looking like we're just inured against what actually ends up happening, which is usually good offensive performance in Mike McDaniel's system with Tua, a quarterback with the wide receivers Tyreek and Jalen. They clearly have figured out a formula to get them through a lot without a really, really good talented offensive line, without a system that relies on the talent of the offensive line, even if you do happen to believe that they're good, which I don't see how you could, given all the injuries this year and all the different lineups that they had. I think everybody should objectively be able to pull themselves back and see that with what happened with the injuries and all the different lineups and stuff like that, that they had a poor offensive line out there a lot from a talent standpoint a lot of the time. I don't want to keep harping on that and just, come off like we're just one note, but I do believe that it's important to have options as you get toward the end of the year. And I think that's where Miami has been running dry. I think it's been clear that Miami at the end of the year, weeks 14 to 18, I think I covered this elsewhere, that something like Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill had been averaging in weeks 1 to 13, I think it's 12 games, the first 12 games, they were averaging 13.5 yards per target against man coverage, the two of them combined. Something like, 600 yards in those 12 games, just against man coverage, which isn't even, the bulk of, I think it ends up being something like 25% of the targets are against man coverage. From the quarterback. So it's not, just against man coverage, they were absolutely destroying everything in their path. And then in weeks 14 to 8, or week 19, I'll just consider it the wild card game as part of it. They, I think, averaged a total, well, I mean, no, they, I'll say it right here. They tallied a total of 43 yards, the two of them, in six games. In six games, they tallied 43 yards against man coverage on 3 yards per target. Something happened. Clearly, Tyreek Hill got injured. We saw that. We saw Jalen Waddle deal with injuries. When they got to the point where they weren't so deadly against man coverage anymore, then that really interrupted their offensive chemistry. And it would be nice to have other options when that's happening and be able to maybe sense that happening sooner and be able to move in different directions. And that could be the fault of the quarterback. That could be the quarterback is too, you know, too single-minded, too tracked, that he's been doing something all season that he can't, you know, that he can't move in a different direction or change a few things about the way he does things or makes decisions or his timing, et cetera. I don't want to absolve Tua of any of this. It could be the play calling and just, you know, wasn't sensitive to the changes. It could be that the offensive line just didn't give them options. And that's where I think it is the offensive line doesn't really give them options to try and pass protect for plays for longer than, you know, 2.2 seconds or so. And so, yeah, you do have to remake it. And I think Simon brought up the best, you know, example, which is the Chiefs had an expectation going to that Super Bowl against the Buccaneers that they were going to win again. And they got their offensive line was embarrassed and they scored 9 points in the game. You know, you can say Tom Brady. Oh, he's the GOAT. Well, yeah, but the problem was the Chiefs couldn't move the ball, couldn't score. Everything was Patrick Mahomes running for his life in that game. And so they really remade the offensive line and they pushed all their chips into it. And they have been doing so ever since. And you talk about, you know, they had bad tackles. Well, you know, I'm not so sure that Juwan Taylor, the right tackle anyway, was all that bad in pass protection. When you account for how long Patrick Mahomes generally holds the ball, and generally likes to draw the defense in before he escapes. I think, yeah, naturally his pressure counts are going to look a little higher. I don't really rate the left tackle that much. I think, you know,
Donovan Smith is the guy that the Heat keeps threatening to trade for.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Donovan Smith. obviously I don't rate him that well, but yeah, they clearly, with the interior of that line, they remade that offensive line. So yeah, I think that offensive line is where you start, but clearly the Dolphins had a man coverage problem in the latter stages of the season too, and they needed some different answers when the engines of their offense, you know, those being Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, just couldn't be that perfect anymore.
Yeah, I look at those two teams that played yesterday, and then I look at Miami's defense, and I just can't help but think, man, our defense is nowhere near on par with any of this that I'm watching here.
Yeah, well, a lot of that was injury, though, Alf. You know,
that's true too. Simon, how do you get this defense? Because this defense, as constructed, completely healthy, which is not something that you could have said last year. It's kind of talent laden, really. And it's just not better than these two teams defensively. And I think that's a huge piece going forward to try to even compete to get to this place, because they're going to need to win some games a little uglier than most. And they just can't do it. That defense just was not good enough this year and hasn't been good enough. How do they get better on that side of the ball? Going forward,
better players, better scheme, better.
But where? Because we like our edge players, we liked our tackles, we liked the secondary. Now we don't like our secondary.
But they're clearly not good enough, are they?
No, they're not.
So, you know, do we have a Trent McDuffie in the slot? No, we don't. Do we have?
No, we don't.
You know, for all that we talk about, we do have good edge players, but you know, the Chiefs don't have amazing edge players. They invested money elsewhere in terms of their talent. It would help if we had healthy corners who played or were put in a position to play the scheme that best suited their talent. I think we have to know, you know, I don't think Xavier Howard will be back, you know, so we have to know whether Cam Smith or whoever it is going to come in and be a guy opposite Jalen Ramsey. I think we need to put Juwan Holland in a position where, you know, it's best suited for him to be, you know, the player that he can be, making plays. You know, do we have the right linebacking crew? Do we have the right defensive tackle makeup? Do we have the right depth? You know, where's our Mike Pennell? Where's our Derek Nandy? Where are those players that can come in, you know, as rotational guys? And, you know, is Raekwon Davis a top five defensive tackle with the Chiefs? I don't think so. So, yeah, that's where we need just better players, better scheme, better.
Yeah, pretty much everything. And they got to play home games in the playoffs. Yeah, that's a given. I was looking this up earlier today. Peyton Manning, 2-5 on the road in the playoffs. Drew Brees, 1-5 on the road in the playoffs. And all of their wins came in perfect weather. That's something that has to happen going forward. Simon, Chris, I don't know if you want to add anything here, or we could just leave it here. And then season 7 in a week's time.
Yeah, I think just leave it here. Better players, better health, better scheme. I think I would emphasize the scheme. I think the coaches need to be connected to the players a little bit better. And that's it.
All right. See you all 10 days from now. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.